Okay, sorry, the batteries went there, which has never happened before. I only bought them this morning from Boys, but that will teach me. But we were talking about the state of BC and how it's not an easy thing to really talk about, is it? And it's so easy just to say the scene's fucked and blah blah blah. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to say that. That's like a really easy thing to say. And the reason why, I've asked you today, and you've really kindly, is because there's what, 70 million people in the UK. I think you're what are you the only UK team? You and Andrew McQuaid who does
Yeah,
tree.
so Andrew's got a very good model. I used to maybe not understand it, but he's got a really good model. So he takes the best talented riders. He's an agent. So obviously, if they make it, he gets paid. And he gives them a global program. And I think he's reached out even further this year. He's got riders from other countries. And I used to look at that and I used to think, no, we can develop it in the UK. And I used to be like really perhaps opinionated that way. And I actually now respect that because we're kind of doing a similar thing now because we're competing abroad, and it's better for you to have more outreach. I mean, we rely on everybody's support. If we don't, we've got no sponsors. If we don't get, let's say,
So where does your money come from?
so when you start a cycle team, you're either mad, egotistical, a comedian. You've seen so many mistakes over X number of years that you think that you want to be able to change it, or a combination of all of them. And then you're talking to that person that's done that. And yeah, it's been my money. And that means I make sacrifices at home or one thing or another. And it's real. If St Piran falls over, so do people's mortgages and jobs. So we're not playing a team. So it does hurt when you take criticism. And I think that, me and you might not have even started on the right page because you had an optic about us.
I did.
And what you've done a couple of times now, we've talked over a couple of years, you've then picked up and go, you actually said to me, I'm really sorry, I think I had an optic about it, but you're actually quite serious about biking. And I said, yeah, come in and have a talk about it.
Yeah, the things that I think, because I've seen it before with other teams, you were saying the things like, we've done the fastest ever this. We've done, we've won this again. Not this season, but the season before. You did, you did amazingly. But no offense, you should have done. And I was like, the state of how it was. If you are a pro team and you do turn up with that amount of riders, and you had Rootkin Gray, Kiffin, Richardson, against some lads who work and stuff. And I was critical, saying, "Look, you should be. There's no excuses. You should be." And then this season, you've lost those three, and then Harry's been ill.
Matt Gibson, broken leg. Will Tibble, Epstein-Barr. Sam Culverwell, probably one of my dark horses. Crashed so badly in France. We haven't talked about. Back riding his bike, some skin grafts, wonderful story of rehabilitation. So we're working with that. Max Walker. I'd say this year we would podium at the national championships or win it, and every secretly. And I've only said this publicly to you.
You did say that about Max Walker, actually. You did say that.
And then Max.
I don't know him, but you
he, you
did.
know, he got on the podium, but he writes for Astana because the call comes at the last minute. We think he's great. Can we have him? And I'm like, oh, so all
But how come they called in? Because he hadn't got any results then. So what did they see before that?
I think for
because the season's only just started.
Yeah, we'd started because he'd come from Trinity, and Andrew said, "Look, I'm struggling with a rider who's 22, no longer under 23," and yet his winter was really good. And I just say to people, like, a bit like going back to Jack Rootkin Gray, for example, he'd come out of BC, he was dropping out of the sport. I just rang him up and said, "Look, just give me 4 weeks." He said, "What do you mean, give me 4 weeks?" I said, "I think we can probably turn your career around." And he went, "Oh, shit," or didn't. And then he said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to tell your dad jokes and we're going to have a bit of fun." And we did.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I think, don't be too serious. Look, we're not INEOS. We're at a level. We're going to get riders and they're going to go on. So, how do you make a change in people? Let's put riders on the start line. Let's have a bit of fun doing it in a serious way. And I think what Sam had proved, and I think Culverwell, he was going really well, and Max was that they hit the ground running. And then the riders get really good invites to, I don't believe in sort of training camps, because it sounds really funny this is, but the riders now, you know, they'll go on a training camp with, you know, Ineos or EF or whatever, you know, of course, yeah, go do it. And we know that we're then open ourselves to kind of losing our very own assets, but it's not our job to hold riders back, is it?
No.
You know, but then the problem is that we spend X amount of money on a ride and he goes, there's no sell-on clause in our sport, right? So they go and we get no money. So we're absolutely mad at this level, you know, I think to, because it's, you know, we're not being remunerated for those riders.
What are your thoughts on introducing crits to stage races so people can pay?
Oh, I think anything that involves a revenue turn. We're looking at some really unusual stuff. I don't know why. Do you know why I talk to you? Is the brutal honesty around, you know, I was broken 16 years ago. I don't, you know, it's not very well known, but it was, you know, it's a big, big, huge life change. And I think that...
How broken?
I realise now why people want to take their own lives. I mean, everybody thought my life was a success and I had the business and, you know...
Is that the bike shop?
Yeah, I had a bike shop and a cafe and kind of everything I touched kind of worked really well, or I was able to convince people that things were successful and had all the trappings that go with it. Wasn't happy in myself. Got fed up telling fibs, which turned into lies and whatever. Because we all do it in life. You know, those things, oh yeah, great.
Yeah.
And what you really want to say is, actually, no, they're not, because I'm really worried about this or whatever. So, you know, I had to be really broken. I don't know. Agoraphobic, depression, anxiety issues, relationship issues. And I was so lucky that I had my family and I had intensive care. And I mean, really intensive care. And some people are in therapy all their life and some come out. So there's no judgment either way. And, you know, I managed to come out. And actually, at the time, they said, oh, you're quite good at mentoring people. Why don't you consider, you know, doing that? And I think maybe in my future, I would. But it was kind of after that time, you know, 12, 16 years ago, that, you know, kind of the idea of doing something different. I've seen so much in cycling over the years, you know, and I've always kind of loved the sport. You know, if you've climbed that hill and seen that sunshine or groveled in that gutter, that stays with you, doesn't it?
Just when I thought I got out, they dragged me back
in. Yeah, there's that to it. And then, you know, you want somebody to maybe experience that. And yeah, so at that point, if you've got what you did by kind of reaching out two or three times was you had that optic and you said, come and have a chat. And you're very good at getting people to talk.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
But then the difficulty is you're a bit of a maverick around the podcast as well, aren't you? And then it's like, people build up podcasts in a certain way and it must frustrate you because they get all these followers and they play it in a certain way and whatever. But, you know, there's some very insightful ones. I've only just started listening to a few.
I'm not interested in all that bullshit.
Well, I never normally do. I've listened to two recently.
It's all bullshit. All that, you know, staging your Instagram so it looks a certain way.
Yeah, they keep me off social media a little bit now because I do get a bit of a keyboard. I can be a bit of a keyboard warrior, but it's kind of like, look, we've talked on some subjects today. BC done a really great thing by getting this event across.
God, so, you're really up BC's arse today, aren't you?
No, because I could turn around and go, this is not what's great for us. I could tell you lots of things that are not great for us, but nobody loves a moaner, right?
No.
And us, you know, individually, then collectively, can change things whether we want to.
So we've both agreed that, it's not great that a bloke from the north and a bloke from the south who barely know each other are trying to rectify the British cycle. It shouldn't be our responsibility. The fact that we're even talking about it is quite poor. So we spoke about different things. Is there an answer, or is it just the fact that maybe we are punching and maybe cycling just isn't that popular in the UK?
Yeah, I think we talked about it a bit earlier. There is a solution. You know, let's go and base ourselves in Belgium then. You know, let's do
and
that.
And call it quits. We tried.
Well, no, if that gets more people racing, that's one solution. It's not maybe the only solution. There is... there's so many reasons to kind of celebrate what's great about sport. The trouble is, it's polarizing, isn't it? You know, we've got reasons that we're doing well at, we're justifying world tour level, going, oh, look, UK's a great system, and it's maybe the track program. And look, back to BC again, but they get £8 million for performance. So it's not the members' money. You know, that comes from the government. So rightly so, that should just go to, you're being paid to do that. And then they got £6 million for participation, and they got commercial relationships. So they've got to sort out some of the other stuff. And I believe there's a conversation to be had that seems to be going the right way. I mean, it's dreadful for us, isn't it? We're the Conti team. And if the aspiration of this race to Tour Britain is to take it to the next level up, we're then excluded from it. So why would we want to take part? You know, if the highest level in the UK is Conti team at the moment, you know, except that, you know, obviously Ineos is private money, and they're registered in the UK, but, you know, it's a completely different thing, right?
What do you think to Ineos this season? Do you think Richard Ratcliffe's kind of like fucking up? Because Man United used to be good, now the shit.
Yeah, you mean Jim Ratcliffe? It's his train set. He can do whatever he likes. It's his train set. It's his train set. At the end of the day, do you know, if I had a fraction of that money,
should they have a development team?
You're good at this, aren't you? You're good at this. What do you think?
Well, of course.
Well, there we go. What did you ask before then?
But why don't they?
When you can...
They're the Santa of cycling, in Santa Claus of in the UK of cycling.
Well...
So why don't they have a development team?
So I would say, and look, we got friends there, but equally, obviously I'm not... I'm my own person. We did Spear and do their own thing. You know, we're nowhere near anything to do, but we think we've got some successful human value stories, and I think that top trumps everything. You know, I think it would be truthful to say that they had a really good rider-centric. You had Brailsford that controlled the labour market, and people came to him, and you know, it was almost rider-centric because he'd ridden a bike, he knew people or whatever. And then they kind of gone more towards a management, you know, business style of doing things.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not the perceived or the actual same success level. So then you've got to go, do we need to be rider-centric or business-centric? There's probably a blend in there. But in the meantime, you know, there's some really good teams that have gone, do you know what? We fancy some of this. And, you know, they've got good practice, and they've kind of blended it, and, yeah, they've overtaken, you know, and it's... You can always buy in talent. UAE buy in talent. You know, I think Lisa Bike. You know, we were going to do a sketch, really. This will make you laugh. You always want something a bit different or controversial.
Yeah, yeah.
We were going to do a sketch around... St. Piran is always like black, and that's a kit, right? And you know where they are, where we're from. You know, and you go, oh, yeah, that, you know, Trek Secafredo. No, they're not Trek Secafredo anymore. They're Trek Little. Yeah, but they're always in blue. Yeah, but they're not now, because they're kind of like, they're in red. What, they're in red? Yeah, but, yeah, and then there's, don't forget Jumbo. Jumbo who? Well, Lisa. Well, who does Lisa ride for? You know, no, it's not Lisa. It's kind of, they've changed the kit. What do you mean they've changed the kit? They used to ride in the yellow, but they're now green. Yeah, but how can they be in green? Well, because Lisa's now.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So we were going to do it, but we just thought that might be a bit disrespectful too.
Oh, God.
We thought it might be a bit disrespectful to the world order, and like, yeah, you know, we race in black. That's it.
Yeah, you've not changed, you know, fair play, and like you don't have logos, like, you know, fair play. You know, you are, you know, up against it, and you have had a really tough season. So it is, you know, fair play to you for, like you said, you must either be mad, you know, or, you know, but where do you see the team going?
So I think...
Are you going to quit? Is this...
Making it sustainable is absolutely crucial.
Yeah.
We've got some really good people. We've had a really good offer for 2026 for us. And nobody's heard this, but, you know...
Is this like a sponsor coming in type thing?
It's kind of a change, a complete change of direction. So we've got to get through 2025. So we've got to decide, you know, do we support maybe the UK with just an under 23 team, and we go off and ride all these races abroad, option number one, or do we concentrate on, you know, we're in China today. I mean, you know, we're in China, and the team cars they give us are RS4s, and they had a light show that was, you know, stunning. You know, do we concentrate where perhaps some of the opportunities are in 2025. You know, we'll probably do a bit of a blend. But the reason we're becoming more successful, because I always say to the staff, you know, our door is always open. And look at the quality of staff we got, you know, Chris Lawless, Julian Wynn, you know, Ryder's coming in, you know, really learning their trade. And, you know, and I think what we do, we have a free to join cycling fan club. It's called St. Piran Deliver. You can pop on the website. For a penny, you're in a cycling club or a team. And then you can rock up and do a time trial if you want. So we're trying to change the barriers coming. And you can wear a blue kit. So if you see somebody in St. Piran blue kit, you don't immediately go PKW, do you? You don't go pro kit wanker. You go, please excuse the language. You know, you go, oh, they're a supporter. Oh, that's kind of cool, that is.
Yeah.
So we kind of, you know, we try and get people, you know, you don't have to join us. I think, you know, there should be a team in Yorkshire. There should be a team in, I think if you had regional teams, I think you get a, you know, like, you know, where Man City play or Liverpool play or, you know, and I think maybe we need a bit of that, Tom. I don't know what you think.
There was a time where I was going to set up a Yorkshire-based team, because Yorkshire, when I raced, was, we had a plethora of riders in a square 1 mile radius. We all used to live. Scott Thwaites.
Oh, wow.
Tom Pidcock, Tom Barris, Alistair Brownie, Johnny Brownie, Tobin Horton, Pete Williams, Tom Moses, me.
Wow.
Wow. It was just insane.
So what stopped you?
Josh Edmondson, Nathan Edmondson. It was mad.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you get to an age where you don't get paid. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you want to get a jacket. You want to take your bird out. You don't want to be a bit of a virgin and wake up on a Sunday morning, go and do a 5 hour. Because fundamentally, that is fucking weird.
Mm.
It's not normal to be a professional cyclist. Like, I was joking with your man out there, Chris Young.
You were, yeah.
Are you still riding?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, of course he is.
Yeah.
You know, and I was only messing with him. He'll ride till he's, you know what I mean? Yeah. But my argument is, it's cycling's not fun. And it's not really that good for you. It leans itself to people who have probably been a bit bullied. Or a bit, you know, I've never seen cyclists and gone, right, he was, I'm going to sound like a dick here. Oh, doesn't matter. It doesn't get like the, like footballers with the cool kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you, I know that sounds cynical.
No, it doesn't. You're bang on.
Yeah, there is an element of truth that.
But see, we get that in court. We haven't got any coach riders.
Do it directly.
Directly, yeah. Get on. So we don't even, we trade on it. Bradley Simmons was born in Penzance, but he lives in England somewhere. I don't know where in England he lives. But, you know, all our riders are from, there's a kid from Australia riding for us, you know, and it's, you know, so we haven't got, you know, we're just clever. We kind of play at that.
And how's Harry doing?
Harry T.
Harry Tomfield,
yeah. Yeah, because we got Harry B, who's, you know, had a really tough year. So Harry Birchall came from mountain biking.
Was he the one who won Rydell last year?
Yeah.
And got second at that Mura van Garrison.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So what's happened this season?
He's really struggling. Well, you know, he's really struggling with the whole part of it. The very thing that you're talking about, he's struggling with.
Are you joking?
No, the very thing you're talking about. And we don't talk about this. It's not for me to, you know, look, if you want to go back to riding gravel, great. If you want to give it the sport, great. You've got to support people completely.
But he had a fantastic season.
Oh, mate, you were talking about his minerals. You talk to anybody in the World Tour, his minerals are unbelievable. But he's got to be happy. And
so what's changed for him?
Oh, it can be little percentages. So last year he started really, really early. Had a quiet period and then sort of came back. His first season, having been about, never even wore a race radio, we ride a Tour of Britain, and he's up the road with Magnus Sheffield and saying to him, can we go any harder? Honestly, genuinely, like Sheffield's going, who is this kid?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this year, it was, you know, he started later and then kind of never got into it. And then another difficult thing is we should be paying we should be making it financially great for the guys. I pay some of my senior riders, you know, but I don't pay everybody. And, you know, so you got pressures on individuals, the very pressures you're talking about. And, you know, and then he was living with Will Tidball and then Will ended up getting ill. So, you know, Harry would probably always need and I wish he was in the room to answer this for you, because it's not right for me to say that, but he's really good. I call it pilot fish. If he's with somebody, he'll ride through a wall. You know, he's absolutely phenomenal. Just needs to find himself. So he just needed that. And we have a mental health partner called Adelia. 24/7, you can ring them up. It's nothing to do with us. It's something we brought in, but it's so hard to talk to people to get the most out of yourself and whatever. And then I had a car accident like 4 months ago, a pretty serious one, right? And I'm only now just up and around. So I think we've missed a window where I've normally got my dad joke or you can pick up the phone. Yeah. And so those incremental differences can affect a rider. And I think, you know, there's been a situation of, and he's not enjoying riding his bike. So I've said, stop.
I completely get it.
I said, stop. What, a team owner says, stop riding the bike. What the F is that all about?
Well, no, because it can be the best thing in the world, but it can also be like, I was talking to someone on the phone the other day who was going out for a ride. I think he had like a 4 or 5 hour ride to do. It was a bit grey. It was a bit spitting rain. And you know what? It really depressed me, the idea of doing that. Mm. I couldn't do it anymore. But I get people who were still in the zone, who whose life it is. And, you know, you've got someone on your team who rides a lot. And I look at him and I think, that's not from a physical perspective, is that not sustainable?
Mm.
But from a mental perspective, like, that won't last very long.
We need to do more. So then in house case, so I'm a team manager, right? And I'm going, like, take some time off a bike. And then I'm getting shit if I say to, you know, some of our races we book through a cycling agency and they go, oh, you got a bad reputation because you don't turn up to races. I'm going, yeah, because the lads aren't fit and we'd be disrespecting it. Then we get a reputation. It's hard to walk in these shoes, but, you know, Harry hasn't enjoyed it. And, you know, even before we came away, I said, look, if you come back to the sport, absolutely fantastic. I said, the door is open for next season if you want it open, but I'd like to know by a certain time. And, you know, if you want to go and race gravel, I'll tell you what, we'll set up a gravel team, you know. And we're looking at gravel, this, you know, there's 3 or 4 in the Goliath lads that are in there. So, you know, Matt Gibson, exceedingly talented rider, you know, very nervous about going back and getting, you know, Epstein-Barr again, which is very common in our sport now, glandular fever or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, he might gravel. So I think, well, actually, I might be mad and set up a gravel team around 5 or 6 riders. And if 2 then say, I'm really found the love and I'm back in it, great. But at least I've given that window of opportunity. Then I can look myself in the mirror and go, yeah, actually, you did everything. You did everything to that person. And then if they decide to quit, great, help them quit.
Mm.
And you would never hear this from at the mouth of a team owner. You know, so my dad, you know, and I, you know, and going back to Harry T, which was a question rather than Harry B, he's an absolutely amazing. There's a guy that came from Pro Tour team, TDT. And we find out he's got this bar episode in January because he'd been raced too much.
Can I stop you?
Yeah.
Because I got that.
Yeah.
And I never recovered.
Did you? Right.
Cav got it.
Yeah.
Took him how many years?
Yeah, exactly.
Do me a favour.
Mm.
If you get a rider who has it,
mm.
tell him not to touch a bike for 6 months.
Well, do you know what Harry T's not done?
Don't touch a bike for 6 months. And even after that 6 months, even if you think you're absolutely fine, do me a favour, have another month. And just drink, eat, be warm, lay vertical, because I couldn't even get out of a car door.
So, Harry T, same boat. And we pay him. And guess what? I never asked him to come back to a race until August.
Yeah.
So we sat there, you know. And do you know what I've also done? I don't know how you get me talking like this, because normally the questions are really pretty standard with the media now, and I can kind of bat them off quite easily. We've brought in, I've got blood testing for the riders so we can check to see if their markers are going down. And so everybody said, oh, it's going to take you 5 years to get a product to market, and we've done it in 3 months. So I've got a proper NHS lab, you know, totally approved, clinically approved, that, you know, we can send the kits out, prick your finger, send it back, and we can look for these markers. So I've done it, and the only problem is, for me to administer that is £70 every single time for a rider. Doesn't sound like very much. Ideally, they need to take one a fortnight. £100 a month, doesn't sound very much. 20 riders.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You add it up.
Yeah.
So we've developed the system, but what we've done with Harry is completely that. And he's very, very good at looking after himself, and has been. And it was dreadful. In March, it's exactly what he said. literally couldn't get out of bed.
No, I couldn't.
And, you know, when you're sitting there, so we've done a lot, and he is right, you know, and we've said keep it to a level, and he's done his few pro careers, and you know, and he's in China now, and he's loving it. You know, that's the type of, you know, oh, we can do this.
Him and his brother had a hard time.
Charlie was my...
Like them, they, you know, like, I mean, personally.
Yeah, well,
they've gone through it.
He crashed, didn't he, in that Velodrome and all the championships, and everybody...
But they lost their mother.
Oh, my God, I didn't realise.
You didn't know?
No.
Yeah, no. They lost their mother.
So...
About 3-4 years ago, and then their dad had... He was on a bike, and he was a builder. They had a family business, which is building. He was the main bread. Was going down descent, crashed.
Wow!
And just they have really been up against it.
So, and it's really funny because you know I kind of speak to him because I've seen you riding in kind of a slightly different way. So when Charlie had his difficulty with you know crashing a velodrome, and he was vilified for this particular crash because what it meant was that our pursuit team then instead of having automatic Olympic qualifications, so they had to go and ride all these World Cups to get the points to you know to kind of, and he was taking so much SH1T, and I think it was around September time or whatever. I rang Charlie up, said Charlie, I'd like you to drive for the team next year.
Yeah,
I want to give you. He said, what do you mean? I said, you know, you're at the lowest point. Let's do it. Let's announce it now that you're our first signing for next year. And he said, well, I won't be riding very much. You know, I'll be on the track and all the rest of it. I said, you know, I've given my commitment to not BC as in the organisation, but to British, you know, cycling, what we're in. I said that, you know, if we can give an athlete 0.25% or 0.5% and it makes a difference. So I'm sat there and watching it, you know, on the TV, I'm a bike fan. If we've given that smallest percentage because of our road program or whatever, I will donate that.
Yeah.
You know, not asking for anything. You know, controversy, sometimes my DSs go, we don't want track riders because, you know, we can't make a lot of currency on the road out of them, or they're doing this or doing that. It's hard for the DSs because they got a job to do. But I try and say, look, if we've got some specialists, you know, and a resounding success was Will Tibble. So Will became scratch champion on the track, but Epstein-Barr virus.
But Jesus this year. Christ!
Yeah, and it's and I think it's a post COVID, you know, there is a post COVID, you know, your moisture in your air, you know, there's a lot still going on at the moment, but we need to be testing every 2 weeks because if we could test every 2 weeks, we could say
on the
you're lacking this, you're lacking that.
On the topic of testing, just seen the Tour de France, and we just seen, I know Saint-Pierre don't race. That you know at the World Tour too often and things like that, but
3-4 times a year we race at World Tour and it is full gas. You know,
what are your thoughts on doping in the World Tour? Do you think that's gone now, or
you're never gonna totally take it out? I think things have moved on generationally in terms of the way that you can work with athletes. You know, and what I mean by that, there is, you know, there used to be EPO and bits and pieces, and that's all testable. I think, and I know hand on heart, there are a couple of generational cyclists out there. And we know that because their data, if you look at it over, you know, you're a bit of a geek.
Yep.
And if you start going to look at the data, you know, there's that progression incrementally over time. You know, they're not having... You know, it's not all their own way that, you know, they're having 4 good days and then they are actually having a bad day. You know, and if you're changing an athlete's performance, you don't have bad days and they are having bad days. And there's a couple of, you know, Vinago and Park, they are exceptional. And I mean,
So Pog won 12 stages of Grand Tours and he won the two. Mm. So that's 14, you know, in 3 months.
Mm.
You know, some people don't win one in a lifetime.
Mm.
You know, I would probably look at anyone who's winning 6 races in a stage race. You know, that is naturally quite unheard of. But then he backed it up and did it again at the tour. it is quite hard to.
So the difference, we notice a difference. So just take it back down to our level. So we know that these top teams are looking for generation, and I mean generational riders, and they are very rare. You know, there's probably 3 or 4 in the world at the moment, and you see the results for them, and that's what they're looking for. They want riders that are markedly different, which is why you've seen kids being signed at 17 and 18.
How come all these kids now go to DSM?
Well, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. We had.
But where are they all coming from?
Well, I think we're losing out in this country. I think what's happening is we need to say, you know, 17 to, you know, going abroad suits some people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Suits some people. It can't suit all. So I think it should be an offering in the UK where, you know, we're not saying, you know, necessarily come to us, but, you know, is, you know, Trinity yourself. We have to work closer with, you know, with organisations. And I think now we've got a credible programme, we're seeing more and more people that want to come to us, which is quite nice. We've got a rider actually that came from DSM. We got Dylan Hicks, and for whatever reason, you know, Dylan wasn't getting the best out of himself at DSM. But Tommy, there's a lot of people said, pick up the phone and start talking to somebody.
Yeah,
hey, what's your story about, mate? And he goes, oh well, you know, I don't know, A, B, and C. And if you talk to him, funnily enough,
it's amazing what you can
do. And you can find out so much. And then their optic was he was a climber, an out and out climber, and actually he's not. I didn't want to stage in with Chris Lawless, which is quite nice for Chris to go and do it in the Tour of Greece. 100-man bunch sprint against them, and he's so tiny, and he's like literally tiny. But the guys put him in the right position, and he won a bunch sprint. And this was a team that DSM had him down as an out and out climber. He's like, I think he's not 4'1", but he's like tiny. I'm not a tall guy, but I look down on him. You know,
what are you for in the UK? What do you think the best body type is to be?
Oh, if I had lots of budget on me, I would love.
All like Ryan Mullen types. Yeah, Gabs Kaleg types.
Gabs rode for us. What a lath athlete. Another one got coronavirus finished. You know, whatever it was, COVID. COVID and coronavirus, whatever.
It's really depressing when you think about all the riders that quit.
Oh, it's we're doing riders a disservice. We, as a sport, so we want to try and change that.
Why do you think I interviewed you today?
I don't know. Go on.
Well, because you're probably I know I've given you a hard time because you call yourself a pro team. And
yeah, you have given us a really hard time, actually, over a couple of years.
And you don't pay everyone and, you know, bikes and, you know, look, whatever. I'm not that much of a dick to, because that's...
Well, the bike thing is rubbish. So we give every rider a Trek and Monta if they want it.
Yeah.
All right. So if a rider comes from GB and he's been on I forgot what it was now. What were they used to be on? Cervelos.
Yeah.
Was it?
Well, yeah,
if a rider's been on Cervelo for 6 months, oh yeah, mate, rider, what's it called? It doesn't make sense. His body's used to that shape and the whatever, whatever. And so then we look like, oh, different bikes on the roof, they can't afford to do them. No, we do it. Oh, I don't want an Amanda. Actually, the Midone is faster. It's been proved to be faster. I said, well, like, you go and buy one. You have one. So, but then we get a reputation for being like, yeah.
I suppose it just looks different, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
People look, you know, it just looks... Do you know what I mean?
I was giving you a hard time then.
No, you weren't. you weren't at all. Trust me, I get fucking worse off my mum. Jesus Christ. Honestly, she is like really bad.
So I think we're doing slightly, pick up on what you said. Yes, you gave us a hard time, but my door is always open, and you'd learn that from, you know, our personal experiences. No, the door is always open, you know.
And but getting back to your question, because eating disorders in the UK and lads thinking that you need to be skinny and stuff... Which is the biggest myth.
Yeah.
With being aero. That and being aero are the two biggest myths.
Correct.
I would say 75, 80 kg in the UK, 1 to 3 minute power, you'll just win everything.
Yeah. If you won the lottery and came to me and said, with your experience of the last few years, what would you like to? I think in the UK, there's space for 3 Conti teams max. You know, we've got a women's elite team. We're never going to have a women's Conti team. There's 5 of them. There's too many, you know, the gene pool isn't there. So I think 3 teams, so that would give you 48 riders in the UK.
What about a pro Conti or a...
So I think maybe you could just about have 1 pro tour, above that, maybe. 1 pro tour, 3 Conti, that's it, finished. Perfect structure for the men's side. Because what you'd have, and they say you're not allowed to own 3 Conti, you've got a different paymaster. But if we had expertise, I'd love, you know, a ruler team, sprint train team, and a GC team. Because you got then you got three types, haven't you? So you know, you look at Sudan and go, yeah, they're a ruler team, and then you look
well, they
at,
used to be.
Used to be. Well, no, it's changing now, isn't it? Changing now. God, you're going to see some change of Bora next year as well. But anyway,
you reckon?
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's... Are they signing Pidcock? Is he? Is he got? He's going, isn't he?
You go and get some interviews with some people. You know, I don't know.
Who it's else not, have they signed? Roglic.
It's you know, and it's exciting because you've got, you know, Ineos are a GC team. That's it. That's what they're interested in. You know, UAE GC team.
Well, they're a Galactico now. UAE are the Real Madrid.
Yeah, and you know what? It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I've always been a quick step guy myself.
Oh, it's amazing.
I've always been a patch, even though Patrick Lefebvre is a, you know, bit of a horrendous individual. I think he. I'm just obsessed with Remco Evenepoel.
Well, today he was phenomenal today. Just honestly, mate, just like unbelievable. Just the way they rode today. So I didn't go in a team car today because it was like we weren't going to get anything out today. We probably won't get anything out tomorrow. Actually, the World Tour teams are on it. You know, they're actually saying, no, this is how you're going to play with us today. The parkour is quite hard. You know, that's a lot of climbing today. You know, a lot of climbing tomorrow. So they're respecting the race from that point of view. Normally, last year, for example, we had some talented guys. So we probably wanted to mix it up a bit and, you know, take it to those guys. But, you know, you saw some real great professionals today, you know, doing some really good stuff. And, you know, we called the sprint early on. We have a bit of a sweepstake. You know, we called it, you know. And in fairness to Trinity, they had a great day because, you know, one of their ex-riders won it. You know, one of the current riders was third. And, you know, fair play. You know, and that's an English Conti team doing that. So, they had a good day at the office today.
We go through my hometown tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. It's
Yarm.
Well, we're going to go. You'll
take my comms.
From really?
Yarm to Stokes, I reckon.
Reckon so. Oh, yeah. We'll put up with little Bradley Simmons done well today, 18th, which is great. And that kid, if he had more confidence in himself, he could do a lot more.
But well, let's go and have a chat with him.
Yeah, well, they're probably finishing lying down now, but I'll find out. We'll get to see one of the guys. We'll see who we can have a chat with. But tomorrow we're going to be at Saltburn Bank with the Beef Eaters.
Oh, wow.
So they're partners of ours, and they're like...
Beef, what's... Is that a drink?
No, it's the Beef Eater Bend. You know, the guys that do the... They dress up as beefy... They're at the Tour de France. Go and have a look at them. They're right, unbelievable. Okay. You know, they dress up as Beef Eaters.
Right.
And they're rocking up tomorrow. And BC have put us in one particular area. Whereas last year, we were all out on the road with them and handed out bits and pieces.
Tomorrow's going to be an amazing stage. It's, you know, Grossmont. And it is great. But look, Rich, thank you for giving me your time. Because, you know, we live so far away. And I don't like doing podcasts on the Zoom because they're not, you know, the Skype, whatever you call it, because they're not great. I think you lose a little bit too much. I think it's better when you sit opposite and you look in the whites of someone's eyes. Yeah. And it's been, you know, it has been, it's been really good chatting to you. You know, I've completely, you know, seeing how you were with your son then, you were crying. And
Stop.
And so, seeing him, you know, you know, you are a human and, you know, and I get a bit, you know, too wrapped up and I get a bit too kind of like, so I need to kind of, you know, so I apologize for how I've, you know, some of the things I said before.
Oh, mate, it takes a big person to apologize, that's the first thing. And we're going to, you know, you're going to have an optic of people and we just want to say we're putting young guys on the start line. That's all we are.
Yeah,
we're,
no, I can see that.
We're trying to do it in the best possible way that we can do. We need everybody's support. You know, we're not asking for anything, but you'd like to join us, you know, do all the usual stuff or whatever. And equally, we want to give a slot, you know, so people join us, we'll give you a slot in our, you know, we'll reflect on you in the media and we'll then host that on our website. Because then, if we can influence one person that affects two or four, that's that revolution that you, I think secretly in your heart, right, you want to see cycling do the right thing.
Of course I do.
And in this country. And I think you've asked some of the right questions and, you know, we're all here to support it.
Well, I've put my money where my mouth is. I've raced, I've put on races, I do this, you know.
What would you like to do in the future? Is there anything you'd like to do in the future with
me?
Yeah, with the sport.
Me with cycling. Yeah, there's one thing that I'd like to do. I would like every team to have a on the site, on the bus, on the training camp, on the whatever, mental aid first aider. Because so, I am sure that there'll be riders who have panic attacks, and there'll be riders who are in hotel rooms on stage three at Tor Lancawi, or the night before Rutland, or the race after Reserve. You know, there'll be people who will be struggling, who will be like, fuck, I'm quitting, or this is not, you know.
So what we try and do, we look at the markers. So Christine White's our first female DS. She's very good at that, in fairness to her. All right. There's more sense of touch, which is important.
Yeah.
We've got Adelia available to all our riders 24/7. You know, we don't have to put resource to that, but we do, because then it's proper competition. It's read the signals. You know, we need the older guys in the sport that've been around it that can look and go, I recognise that. And yet, so many of us pack up, don't we? We get out of the sport.
I've just seen Tim Kenner. Pete Kenner. Yeah. Example.
Classy rider, wasn't he?
Who was the sprinter, the German, who won all the stages of the Tour de France? There's just so many people who pack up because they crack. And they're so, we get all these coaches. So in cycling, this is what I used to say. It's all well and good getting a coach for your power.
Yeah, but not your mind.
But not your mind. And that's where races are won.
Right, Tommy, I'll leave it with you. What do you think success is? I can tell you what I think success is. What do you think success is?
Well, people say it's having freedom, you know, not having to wake up and be a master. You know, success to me would probably look different to other people. Success to me was probably having a peaceful mind.
Right. So if you ask, real success, cycling is a tool. It can help you unlock yourself. Point number one. Point number two, wherever you get off in the pyramid of results, if we can retain somebody in the sport, so they don't pack up or don't quit, or they get to be a great second cat or a great first cat, or you know, whatever. But if you can say, let's retain you in the sport somehow, you know, then that's real success. Whether you're riding for fitness or fun or whatever, but if you can share that, that's real success, because you know we share in our ecosystem of the sport. When was the last time you rode a bike?
Commute to work, 3 mile and back.
Yeah. E-bike or no?
No, normal bike. But I couldn't put on cycling kit for a while. It used to make me cry.
But so real success would be, you know...
But I think I've made peace with that now.
Yeah, and that's what we should, right? It's just that...
I've made peace with that now. Yeah. I played football on Friday with my best mate.
Yeah.
He said, come along to training.
Yeah.
I haven't played football since year 11.
Yeah, I know. It's good, isn't it? I did that.
And do you know what?
A lot of years.
Because I said to Ellie, my girlfriend, I said, I need to feel like a man this weekend. I'm struggling. It's been too much. I need to feel like a man. I played football with him and some blokes I'd never met, shouting at me, cutting me off, slide tackling me. They went for a pint after. I felt like I'd done cocaine.
Yeah, but
it was the best. And you know what I'm doing tomorrow night?
Go on.
Got a text message today. I've got a trial at Leeds City FC at Bedquilts at 6:15 p.m.
Mega.
For their 15. But I couldn't care.
Doesn't matter. So we're a rider today. One final thing. Did something pretty major. So there's a few moves happening. And there's Jenny Moscombe, actually. You'll probably see it. So you'll probably know the rider. And my rider got squeezed. He touched the wheel, ended up on the deck. And this is a young rider, so he's come back, you know, and of course, you know, all the World Tour guys, you know, you're shit or whatever. And he felt so bad, right? And he's a coping mechanism. He's never been in a situation before. And he was kind of a bit angry, you know, at the end, you know. So I said, right, you've got 5 minutes. Go and do what you need to do for 5 minutes, but please come back here. So he went and did his bit. And he came back and he said...
What, come back on the bike?
Well, we'd finish, right?
All right,
so,
yeah.
So I said, have a bit of a walk around, because he's been a prima donna, right? He was kind of like angry and all the rest of it and whatever. And I said, go and have a walk around, come back. And when he came back, I said, nobody's died, nobody's got cancer. You're going to go back into that room with all the guys and you're going to be upbeat, because petulant behaviour isn't really, really great. And he came back and thanked me tonight. He said, do you know what? That was kind of the best sort of mind training that I've had. I said, look, you're on that start line again tomorrow. So we do need to do a lot more in around the whites of the eyes and, you know, how we deal with stuff and how you behave and family values. I always talk about family values.
Well, footballers do. The football teams do. I've got a mate who works at Man United and he was telling me the lengths. There's a department that just look after. Obviously, they've got the budget and I get that. it's not that easy in pro cycling, fair enough, but they have a department that just looks after like the cohesiveness of the players to make sure that they, you know, are all right and they can slip into...
You touched on it, it's mind training, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just train your mind to understand and have a look. And, you know, it's only when you haven't got that or never had that, you realise the value of it.
Yep.
You only realise the value of something when you haven't got it.
Well, I was obsessed when I cycled. I would have liked to have done a few more years. I packed up. I only really raced for like 4 or 5.
I carried that resentment for a long time because I wasn't brilliant, but I could repeat really well. I could read a race and you know, I was an average kind of elite cyclist. And you know, I let the sport go too long. I could have, you know, I probably should have done a little bit more riding, but, you know, you reach the point, you go, no, I'm actually, you know, I'm kind of happy. Do it for what it is rather than what it does.
Yeah, I know. I keep on saying, keep on quoting Jamie Carragher, what he said about Casemiro, leave the sport before the sport leaves you.
Yeah, there's a lot to that. But the wisdom that we gain, it's funny, in the Far East, they value old age because those are the people with wisdom, you know. I'm sure the young lads look at me and go, oh my God, it's rickiness.
Yeah.
It's Coco the Clown again. But sometimes I'm a dad, sometimes I can be the best friend and, you know, occasionally you've got to hold up a red card, haven't you? Something you'd know from football.
Yeah, well, I'm about to find that out.
Well, I hope you don't get too many red cards, but...
I know. Look, thanks ever so much. Sorry that the batteries went out halfway through. That's never happened before. But it's been great, and I wish you all the best. And you might see me tomorrow. I might see you. And if not, keep in touch.
Oh, listen, thank you. No, you know, the door is open. And we didn't start right.
I'll get fit for 2025.
Oh, do that, mate. Look, we didn't start right. But it's not where we started, it's where we end up, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, and I think we could all learn a lesson from that.
Well,
because it has been a pleasure, and you come across as a very positive, caring type of guy who just wants the best for people and stuff, and how you wear on your phone, you know, you can't be a cunt if you're like that. do you know what I mean?
Stop it.
You know,
you
just can't be. It's, you know what I mean? But no, thanks very much. And all the best for the rest of 2024 and 2025.
Fingers crossed, eh? All right, mate.
Cheers, man.
Cheers.